Well, good evening. I'm Sam. As Matt said, I am stepping in. Unfortunately, Matt Miles, the best guy, is sat at home at the moment, self-isolating. So I am your supply teacher. Please treat me with more love than we did Mr. Holiday in Year 8 Geography. Give some love to Matt and all the other guys from CareX, all the guys who are isolating at home at the moment. We know it's tough. Tonight we are following on with the second part of our series, Say What?, looking at the tough teachings of Jesus, because we believe that it's in those toughest teachings that we get the most important lessons, that Jesus saves his most harsh words for those places where we need to hear the truth the most clear, those places in our life where it really matters that we're living the way he wants us to. So last week, Kate spoke about hypocrisy. What does it mean for us to try not to be hypocrites, to listen to Jesus' words? And I don't know about you, I spent the last week being pretty convicted by that. So thanks, Kate. Go back and watch that talk online. And this week, we're looking again at another tough teaching of Jesus. This time, it's in the book of Luke, another biography of Jesus' life in Luke chapter 9. And it's helpful for us to see a bit of the context before we get to this really tough teaching. And it is a tough one this week. It's good to have a bit of context as to how we got there. I think it helps us understand the phrase a little bit more. And so what you have in Luke 9 is starting off with this incredible miracle. It's a really famous one. It's, you know, one of those chart toppers, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus with a couple of loaves of fish, couple of bread, couple of loaves of fish. I don't know what they are. But he feeds 5,000 men, many more women, children. And can you imagine being Peter, one of the other disciples, there with the fish and the bread, feeding these people, watching it multiply before your very hands? It would be crazy. There's another book, Mark, that carries on the story before we get to this saying, and it talks about how Jesus then goes and has this kind of argument with the Pharisees and just destroys them. Then he goes on and he meets a blind guy and he spits in the ground and rubs mud into it and then puts it in the guy's eyes, and that seems to do it. And again, being Peter, being on the front row of this must be an incredible experience. And then so in both Luke and Mark, just before we get this really tough teaching, Peter turns to Jesus when Jesus asks him, "Who do they say I am?" And he says, "I believe that you're the Messiah. You are God's Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. You're the chosen one. You are the Son of God." Peter has this profound revelation about who Jesus is. He comes off this kind of mountaintop of crazy miracles, of amazing things that he got to be part of. And then he says to Jesus, you're God's Messiah. I believe in you. I'm following you. And so why is it that after this kind of mountaintop experience, Jesus then hits them with a really tough teaching? He goes, and we read it in Luke 9. So if we bring it up, it says this. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." So first of all, Jesus is saying, after all this fun stuff they've been doing, actually, guys, the truth is that I'm going to be killed. It's not going to look like it's ending well. It's going to be tough. And then he goes on, and we read again in the following verses. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very soul? So not only is he saying that it's going to be really tough, not only is he saying that Jesus himself is going to die, but you as his disciples, you're going to have to give everything up. You're going to have to pick up your cross, this torture method, carry it. You're going to have to lose your life if you want to find it. You can't go around gaining wealth and trying to just gain earthly things, because actually you'll forfeit your very soul. These are tough teachings of Jesus. And I can imagine if you're Peter in this moment, it's just a real vibe killer as much as anything. You've been having a great time following Jesus, doing the miracles. And then Jesus is coming along saying, "Yep, I'm going to die and you're going to have to carry your cross. You're going to give up everything. It's going to really suck. It's going to be really hard." And it's probably a real bit of a come down. And then that's not even it. We've not even come to today's tough teaching. We haven't even said what it is, the next thing that he says that really, well, gets me. This is for me, maybe, I don't want to say this in church, but maybe my least favorite verse in the Bible. You'll see what I mean in a minute. He says this. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Am I going to be booted off? They're going to cut the feed. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of his holy angels. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Jesus is saying, if you're ashamed of me, if you aren't willing to take my side, to tell people about me, to share the news of who I am, then actually at the end of time, Jesus will be ashamed of you. And the reason that this hits me really hard, the reason that I read this and it just hits me in here, is because I see myself in Peter's situation. I don't know about you, but I can imagine being Peter, because I've sort of walked that journey a bit myself. I haven't like fed 5,000 people and spat and made mud and put it in people's eyes. But I have had experiences where I feel like I've been on the top of my faith. You know, before I came to Bristol for university, I spent a couple of years doing a gap year working for a church called Soul Survivor Watford. And the second year of that, I got to follow the guy who leads it around the world. He's kind of sort of a minor Christian celebrity. And so we would go to conferences and churches all around the world, and I'd kind of carry his bags. And I got to see the most incredible things. We would be in conferences and I'd be praying for people, and we'd see people get out of wheelchairs, people healed, hundreds and thousands of people coming to know Jesus. And I'm just having this real time where I can do what Peter does, where I say, yeah, God, you're the Messiah. It's easy to say that when you're sat in the Hillsong Sydney green room. It feels great to follow Jesus, say, yeah, this is it. And so I thought, when I come to university, I'm going to head to university and I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. My hall is going to be a wellspring of revival. Here we go. And then I arrived at University Hall, represent Flat 22. And honestly, within a couple of moments, it was like a balloon had popped. And suddenly I feel timid, and I feel awkward, and I'm worried what people think. And so it would be stupid things like people would ask me, you know, what did you do on your gap year? And I'd want to say that I worked for a church, you know, and talk about that. But then sometimes it would kind of become, you know, I worked for a charity, a church-based charity, you know, and that's a bit more palatable, a bit more easy to explain. Or on a Sunday night, I'd walk out the flat and say, all right, guys, see you later. I'm just going to go to church. Now I'm just off the church, and just, you know, be really coy about it, be really quiet. And I don't know why, but the truth was that I look back and there's a part of me that was, for some reason, ashamed. So that's why this verse hits me. And I'm sharing this honestly because I know, and I'd maybe give me some care, give me some love, so I know that you're on my side here. I know that I'm not the only one who, when it's come to sharing faith, when it's come to talking about Jesus, has struggled to know what to say, has felt like I can't share like I want to, has backed down when an opportunity presents itself. We haven't lived free of shame, free of being able to just live freely to tell people about who Jesus is. And if you're a non-Christian, if you haven't really been to church, if you're just checking this out, this is kind of, I guess, a bit of a peek behind the curtain. This is a bit of family talk. But the reason that we talk about this stuff, the reason we talk about telling people about who Jesus is because it really matters to us. We believe that he's good news, that he saved our lives, that he loves us more than we could know. And so that's why it's even weirder that for so many Christians, we struggle to share the good news, even with our friends, our family, our colleagues. And so what I want to do tonight is just look at this story in Luke 9 and ask three questions of you. Because I think there's three main reasons why we can feel ashamed, why we don't share faith like we should. And the first one is this. Do you have confidence in who Jesus is? Do you have confidence in who Jesus is? If we don't have confidence, we won't share like we should. You know, I'm told all the time that I am a little bit too enthusiastic. I can get a bit overexcited about things, and everything I've ever eaten is the best thing I've ever eaten, that sort of thing. But I like to think, when it comes to movies, I like to say I've got pretty good taste, and I'll go to the cinema on a Wednesday afternoon by myself, not a lame thing to do, and I love coming back and saying, oh, you've got to go see this film. It's incredible. It's amazing. Now, I'm not going to do that if the film I've just watched is Transformers 7 or something like that, because I've got no confidence that when I tell my friends, they're going to agree that it's amazing, incredible, I should have seen it. If we don't have confidence in what we're talking about, in what we're sharing, we'll never share it as fully as we should. And the same is true for our faith. Do we have confidence in Jesus, the person that we're talking about? It's really interesting, the word that Jesus uses when he says ashamed in this passage. If we bring it back up, I think it's really helpful when he says, whoever is ashamed. And what we see is the Greek word here, I can't say it. There's way too many consonants for that length of word, and I'm not going to give it a go. But what it translates as, if you kind of translate it into English literally, it means to be disgraced for wrongly aligning to someone or something. To be disgraced for wrongly aligning to someone or something. So, in other words, you believe the con man and you get found out and there's egg on your face. You believe the conspiracy theory, you go all in, and then it's proved not to be true and you look a bit stupid. We have chosen to wrongly align ourselves with something. And that's really interesting here, because actually that's what we see with Peter. You know, up to this point, like I said, he's been party to the most incredible miracles. He's been feeding the 5,000. You can't imagine that while Peter's watching the bread literally multiply in his hands, that he would have had any doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. He must have known, he must have been full of confidence that he had picked the right team, that he wasn't going to be disgraced. He was so confident he would say, yeah, you are God's Messiah. You are it. But then fast forward later on in the story, and Jesus is been arrested and he's going to be on trial and he's going to be killed. And they're looking for Jesus' followers. And suddenly it looks like Jesus is the con man. It looks like Jesus is the big lie. It looks like Peter has been disgraced because he picked the wrong team. And so when someone comes to me and they say, do you know who Jesus is? Are you a follower of Jesus? He says, no, I never even knew the guy. Three times he denies knowing Jesus. He's ashamed because he says, I can't put my confidence in this. I'll look stupid. I've picked the wrong team. Do we have confidence in who Jesus really is? And not just in the good times when we're feeding the 5,000, but in the bad times too. You know, it may be that you, when you were kind of in January, February, we're all in church together, no mask, singing, and you're having a great time and a time of worship, just loving life, and you're full of confidence. Say, yes, Jesus is God, I believe it. But now the last 10 months have actually really drained your confidence. And it's really hard for you to say now, with all honesty, with everything that's happened, with all that you've been through, with all that you've seen your family and friends through, that you have confidence to share that Jesus is good news. If we're going to share this news, if we're not going to be ashamed, we need to be confident that Jesus is who he says he is. And so what I would really recommend, if you say, actually, yeah, that's me, I would love to share about Jesus, but honestly, when I look at my faith, I'm just not that confident that what I'm talking about is all that it cracked up to be. I'd really recommend join an Alpha course. We run Alpha courses all the time. They're online at the moment, where you can just ask those big questions of faith. Kick the tires of your faith a little bit. Ask for a mentor. We can provide you with a mentor where you can walk through that journey and just grow in confidence of who Jesus is. It's really important that we can have confidence to share without disgrace or shame. The second reason, and the question that I want to ask you tonight, because this might be why you struggle to share your faith like you want to, is this. Do you care about what Jesus does? Do you care about what Jesus does? We can have confidence in who Jesus is, but do we care about what Jesus does? Let's step back for a moment from the question at the moment and just look at our society in general. We live in a postmodern society. That means that my truth, the thing that I believe to be true, my worldview, I can believe with all my heart and follow it. And this person over here, my friends, colleagues, family, can believe their truth and can follow it wholeheartedly. And the two things can coexist and they don't need to cross over. They can both be true for each individual person. We live in a kind of delivery world when it comes to truth. It used to be that you all had to agree whether you were having Indian or Chinese. Now you can have one person can have Chinese, one person can have Indian, you can get a Wagamama's, doesn't matter. Everyone do their own thing. And actually, that's what I experienced when I came to uni. I was sharing earlier my story of arriving at university, wanting to share faith. And for the last 2 years working with the church, I'd kind of, I guess, built up in my mind this idea that the guys that weren't at church, the people I was going to meet at university, they would be the heathens that were so desperate that when they heard the good news, they heard that I went to church, they would just fall and say, yes, take me to church right now. I'm desperate to go because I'm so unhappy. I just need to go right at this moment. But actually, what I found when I arrived at university was that my housemates didn't go to church, but they were just as happy. They were generous, fun, kind. They definitely had better Friday nights. And actually, I started to ask, do my friends really need to know Jesus? And so what set in for me was a bit of apathy. I didn't share the gospel like I wanted to because I just grew apathetic. And actually, I was a bit embarrassed because to impose and say, listen, I believe this is true and I want you to discover it for yourself as well, was kind of going against the whole vibe of the postmodern culture, which says we don't need to believe what each other believe. We can just coexist. What I found really helpful thinking about this actually is a story from this past week. Now, the great news, what we've all been G'd up by, the boys at Pfizer, looks like they've done it. We're looking positive. Go on, lads. It looks like we might be okay, and there's this potential vaccine on the way. But imagine if we had never heard that news. And 5 years down the line, we've all been living in the same as now. People are dying, there's suffering, we're in lockdowns. But it's uncovered that all this time, the guys at Pfizer had just kept the vaccine to themselves. They had said, well, their vaccine is good for them, our vaccine is good for us. And so the scientists had injected each other, and then we're just living a perfect COVID-free life. If that was discovered, they would be strung up in The Hague. There would be, you know, humanitarian crimes. It would be a huge news story. It would be terrible. Actually, the view of the Bible, what we're told by Jesus, and he makes it really clear throughout his teaching, this is why he's so tough. This is why it can be hard to stomach, is he says that if we do not meet Jesus, if we do not have Jesus in our world, then we will forever be locked in a world of darkness, of pain. When we look around us and we see suffering and we see pain and we see people struggling, we as Christians believe that we have the answer. We believe that his name is Jesus, and that Jesus, it's a simple analogy, but he is the vaccine to our world's problems. He is the answer. And so if we as Christians are happy just to say, well, it's good for me, it's good for you, I'll keep it to myself, you do your own thing. It's no wonder Jesus says, actually, at the end of time, I'll be ashamed of you, because that is a humanitarian crime. We've kept it to ourselves. It's so tempting. So tempting to say as Christians that actually my faith revolves around I go to church on a Sunday and I feel good and I get all the feels when the worship builds and then I see my friends and we go out for coffee dates and I go to Hub and I go for nice walks and it's all good and it helps me feel good about myself. And it's very easy when we grow apathetic to retreat to our kind of Christian holy huddles where we say, this is good for us. This is our thing. Let's keep it to ourselves. But we're denying our friends the chance to find truth and life and meaning. So I want to challenge us. Can we beat back the apathy? Do you care whether your friends meet Jesus? Here's the final reason that I think we can see from this story why it might be difficult for us to share our faith, why we struggle. And it's this: will you pay the cost of following Jesus? Will you pay the cost? Now, Jesus makes it really clear in this teaching that there is a huge cost to following him. He says about carrying your cross. He says about leaving your family. He says, you know, you're going to be, the reason he's warning us about being ashamed of him is because he knows that there's going to come times when the easy way out is to deny Jesus, is to pretend like we never knew him. There is a huge cost. And actually, the reason Jesus gives this teaching to his disciples is because he's preparing them. You know, when we look at the lives of what happened to the disciples after Jesus left, nearly all of them were killed for their faith. They dedicated their life to telling the good news about who Jesus was, and nearly all of them were killed because of it. There's a cost to pay. And now for us, we like to, I think as Christians, we like to really big up how big the cost is for us. We like to really, I don't know, there's something in our psyche, we like to pretend that we are the great, you know, in the Western world, the Christians, the modern day, I don't know, outcasts. But realistically, we've got it pretty good here in England. The cost for us, it might be a bit of embarrassment. It might be a bit awkward. We might get rejected a few times. We might struggle with a few different areas where we're trying to live out Christian values and share Jesus in a world that doesn't quite agree with that. But the cost really is so small for us. And yet I'm embarrassed to say that my shame, my embarrassment will get in the way so often of me sharing who Jesus is. I can't even count the cost of a little bit of temporary embarrassment. I think the thing that really hit this home for me personally was when I was with the persecuted church in Central Asia. I'm here and I'm worried about, you know, oh, it's just a bit awkward when I go to invite my friend to church because they'll probably say no. And I'm thinking about this. And meanwhile, I'm with a pastor who the week before his co-pastor had just been arrested, taken to prison for life because the underground church had been discovered. I'm with a group of 25 women who used to be Muslim who have had to leave their family, their children, their husbands, and live together, cut off from mainstream society because they want to share the good news about who Jesus is. And so can we honestly say, if you're like me, if you're someone who says, I want to follow Jesus, can we really say that the cost is too high for us? Just to have a potentially awkward conversation. Just to have a discussion when we don't have all the answers and we look a bit silly. And the reason that this is important, and we know it's so important, is because Jesus shows us in his teaching the true eternal scope of why this matters. If you read again that really tough teaching in Luke 9:26, it says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. What Jesus is doing here is giving us a view of the fact that this isn't just about today and this moment. Jesus starts talking about eternity, about the end of time, because actually what we do here rings out in eternity for our friends and for us. You know, I don't want to get to heaven and actually know that I was ashamed of sharing who Jesus was just because it was a bit embarrassing, or just because I'd grown a bit apathetic, or just because I hadn't grown in confidence about who Jesus was. I want to live way more than that. I just think for us as a church, as a community, there has to be more than that. Has to be more than bowing to that fear, that apathy. I want to be a heart on the line, putting it all out there, Christian. I want to be embarrassing. I want to be a fool for Jesus. But actually, I look a bit stupid sometimes, but it doesn't matter because my friends come to know him. But the great news for us is that even though this matters in eternity, actually it's really, really easy for us. Our part is such a small part to play, especially in 2020, especially with online church. So here is three simple things. If you're worried, saying, oh, that sounds good, but I need something more. I've tried this before. Well, here are three ways that we can try this week to live out the sharing the good news. The first one is this: pray for a friend. If you've got a friend and you've been praying for them, keep on going. Just pray every day. We meet at 7:30 on Thursday mornings for Metro Prayer on Zoom. And at the end, we finish every time by praying for a friend by name. I'd love for you to join us. It's a great way to remind you to keep praying for your friends. The second thing we can do, really simple, is to share the link to this service, to a talk, to a worship moment. On a Saturday night, Sunday morning, just send the link to a friend and say, hey, I think you might enjoy this evening. Really, really easy. And it's not about us trying to grow a bigger church. All we care about is that actually people come and they can meet Jesus. And third and final, tell a story. And it doesn't have to be something big. It can be on your Zoom meeting on Monday morning when people say, what did you get up to the weekend? You say, actually, I watched church online. And you can tell a story about how that impacted you. Text a friend. Tell them something that's happened in your life because of Jesus. Really simple things that we can do. The thing that's really exciting is that when we do the simple things, when we take those steps, but we do it without shame, and we do it with confidence in who God is, without apathy because we care for our friends and counting the cost, we see incredible things happen. It's not difficult. But incredible things happen. We have seen in the history of Metro, we haven't been going very long, but we've had over 50 people baptized. And nearly all of them are because a friend without shame said, do you want to come to church? You can go back and watch on YouTube our baptism stories. They're brilliant. There's someone saying in the toilet of Embargo's nightclub, do you want to come to church? It's simple stuff. It's not hard, but it's done without shame. It's done with confidence in who God is. And so I'm going to pray for us in a moment that we can grow in that. But first of all, here is our big idea. We need to have confidence in who Jesus is, care what difference he makes, and be willing to pay the cost of following him. Then we won't be ashamed to share the good news, and we see transformation in our friends and in our city. Now, in a moment, the band are going to come back up and we are going to go into time of worship. But what I want to do is just pray for us. Because actually, it's all good for us talking about it, but it's much better if we can pray and ask God to help us. So first of all, if you're here, you're tuning in, and you're wondering why we spent a whole 30 minutes talking about telling you about Jesus when you're when you don't normally go to church, your friends brought you along. I'd just love to pray for you now that actually you would discover something. Find something that means we're so desperate to talk about it. But also for those of us who have been following Jesus a while, but we just want to grow in our confidence to share who he is. We want to see our friends come to know him. I'm going to pray now as the band comes up for that as well. Yeah, so God, we just want to pray for all of us. We admit when we don't get it right. We admit when we fall short, when we feel ashamed of sharing about you. And God, right now, I just ask by your Spirit, you would fill us with boldness, with your power. You would fill us with a real urgency to tell our friends, knowing that this stuff matters, that the clock is ticking. And I pray above all else that, God, as we go, we would know you with us. That this isn't something we have to strive and push for. It's simply sharing about who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.